want to follow in the church Bibles can be found on page 947. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord God. The Lord, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Suppose you could change anything about yourself. Where would you start? Lots of us would start on the outside. Would we be skinnier, taller, shorter, better looking? Would we change our eyes, our hair, our teeth, our legs, or even our bulges? If we could wave a magic wand and change our outward appearance, would it be an extreme makeover or simply a light touch-up? Would we even be recognized by another if we changed? I think we all go through periods where we desperately want to change our outward appearance. Teenagers can live in a state of constant fear that they don't look good enough, and so they tinker with this or that and try different experiments with different types of fashion. This or that t-shirt, different hats, or whatever the latest hip-hop artist seems to be wearing. But when we grow older, we get smarter. Or at least some of us should. We can spend hours trying to find the right dress or just the right shirt or the right pair of trousers so that we will fit in with whichever crowd we're trying to impress that day. We often diet obsessively. We work out, which is good for our health, but it can be a losing battle because after we lose that weight and finally start to look good, it can, of course, come creeping back again. And finally, we reach the stage in life where it's simply easier to cover it up rather than to lose it. And in extreme cases, we might just give up altogether and stop caring about how we look. But as hard as it is to change on the outside, it's infinitely harder to change on the inside. If there is anything we know about human nature, it is that change happens slowly. People change slowly, if they change at all. Think about the struggles of your own life. What would you change about yourself on the inside if you could? Maybe we'd stop being impatient. Maybe we'd stop being critical. Maybe we'd stop gossiping. Maybe we'd stop being envious of those around us. We all want to change something, but we don't know how to do it, and too often we don't know where to begin. We all dream of being something different, being a better kind of person than we are already. And of course, advertisers know this well. That's why email inboxes get crammed with adverts promising us that we can lose weight now, make money overnight, suddenly learn a new language, or become better people. I received one the other day that said, "Watch the unwanted pounds melt away." And I quite like that metaphor. Sounds like fun. Take this or that pill or this or that supplement, drink this or that super duper energy drink, and hey presto, the unwanted pounds will just melt away. What could be easier? But change is hard. Go to any bookshop and you will see walls of self-help books. Helping people change is big business nowadays. But when we get up in the morning and we look in the mirror, all we're going to see is the same old person looking back at us. That's quite often why we move, why we change jobs, even get a facelift, buy a new car, start a new job, go to a new church or join a new club. The list goes on and on. It's not as though those things are wrong in themselves. Sometimes we just need to make outward changes. But it's not the outward stuff that trips us up. It's the stuff on the inside that quite often we simply can't seem to fix. Knowledge alone is not going to save us. Knowledge alone is not going to change us. We've got to do something with the knowledge that we have. Otherwise, all we're going to end up are pages and pages of notes, outlines, and plans that never get fulfilled. So most of us change very slowly, if indeed we change at all. Few of us make any lasting changes except under pressure, quite often as a result of personal pain. And there's going to be no growth without struggle. And long-held habits can be changed, but it's not going to happen overnight. Patterns of sin can be broken, but it takes more than a quick prayer at the end of a church service to do that. We can see significant growth in our spiritual life, but that's not going to come without a cost. Think about a caterpillar as an example. When a caterpillar enters the cocoon, it emerges later on as a butterfly. The basic nature of the caterpillar doesn't change. It's the metamorphosis, or the changing of the caterpillar into the butterfly, that reveals what was already there in the first place in the basic genes of the caterpillar. Caterpillars can't fly, but they were born to fly. And when the caterpillar has been changed into a butterfly, it becomes what God always intended it to be in the first place. The Apostle John said that now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. He was talking about our future when we will be with the Lord in heaven. But it's also true in this life now. God is all about the transformation business, and we can't tell where it's going to end or what plans God is going to have for us today or tomorrow. God is determined that we're all going to be like Jesus in the end. In the book of Romans, it says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. But we could apply this to our spiritual lives as well. Every one of us is a work in progress. We're not finished, we're not glorified, we're not perfected, we're not completed. We're all, if you like, under construction. If you've ever been to a building site, it's a noisy and a very messy place. While the hammering and the sawing carries on, it's hard to imagine what the final result is going to be. But God never stops working on us because there's so much work that needs to be done. And what makes us think that God is ever going to finish the job that's been started? Sometimes in my mind's eye, I can picture God as some kind of sculptor working with a rough piece of stone. And he's working on a big chunk named J. Rosie. It's a hard job because the chunk is badly marred, it's misshapen, it's discolored, it's cracked in odd places, and it's about the worst piece of stone that a sculptor could ever find. But God is undeterred, and God works patiently at the job chipping away the bad parts, chiseling an image into the stone, stopping sometimes just to polish it here and there. And one day, God finally finishes one section of the statue. The next morning, when returning to the studio, suddenly that section is all messed up and misshapen again. "I thought I finished that yesterday," he says. "Who's been messing about with my statue?" But it turns out that I'm the culprit. I'm my own worst enemy. What I thought would improve things has only messed them up. But God is endlessly faithful. God picks up the chisel and goes back to work, chipping away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. And in my case, it's evident that God has got a long way to go. But I'm encouraged by the certain knowledge that God is not going to quit halfway through the project. What God starts, God will finish. Romans 12:2 teaches us about spiritual change. God intends that slowly but surely we will be transformed into the image of Christ. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen overnight. It can't happen without the work of the Holy Spirit. But it does happen when we choose to make a personal commitment. It happens when we are encouraged by the example of other Christians. It happens as we become what God is making us to be. And it happens as we behold the glory of Jesus Christ. That's how the mind is renewed, by constantly looking at the glories of Jesus for what they really are. We have to follow Jesus so that we can know him better and better. And then we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So in 2024, we could be embarking together on a great adventure. It won't be easy. It may not always be fun. It can be nerve-wracking to have our weaknesses exposed under pressure. But through change, there's no better way to get to grow in Christ. So do you hear the faint sound of hammering and sawing on the inside? When God is finally finished, we will truly be like Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.